If you have your Bible, if you could take it and turn to John chapter 21, we're looking at verses 1 through 17 here in just a few moments. The last message that I preached, we left Peter broken. We left Peter having just denied Jesus three times. He was at the bottom. He had hidden rock bottom, and there was a temptation for him to quit. Have you ever been there? Surely most of us have been there at some point in our lives. Maybe because of choices that we have made, maybe because of just circumstances of life. But we get to the point where we feel like we're at the bottom and we're ready to quit, and we wonder if Jesus is even there. You consider, there are men who have been to those points in their life. Consider Thomas Edison. His teachers told him that he was too stupid to learn anything. He was fired from his first two jobs for being non-productive, made thousands of unsuccessful attempts at inventing the light bulb. And when a young reporter asked him how it felt to have failed so many times, this was his famous quote: "I didn't fail 5,000 times. I discovered 5,000 ways that didn't work." Or you've heard the quote maybe by Michael Jordan, the great basketball player, in my opinion, the greatest basketball player of all time. And he says this: "I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed." Let's look at Peter. Peter is facing failure, and he has this encounter with the redeeming Jesus that changes his life. When we feel like we're maybe hitting that point of failure in life, when we feel like there's nothing else, we have a redeeming Jesus in our life. Let's read together John 21, 1 through 17. "After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way: Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, 'I am going fishing.' They said to him, 'We will also come with you.' They went out and got into the boat that night, and they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, 'Children, have you not any fish, do you?' And they answered him, 'No.' He said to them, 'Cast a net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch.' So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, and they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish which you have now caught.' Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of the large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, 'Come and have breakfast.' None of the disciples ventured to question him, 'Who are you?' knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Tend my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Shepherd my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said to him, 'Tend my sheep.'" The disciple ignores the temptation, the pressure to quit. And one of the things that we need to do to ignore that pressure, that temptation to quit, is to take the focus off of ourselves. When following Jesus gets hard, there's a temptation sometimes to go back to something that's familiar, something that's easy. When I moved to Wyoming many, many years ago, I was given some really not so sound advice. I was told by people that I needed to make sure that I kept my home back in Indiana that we owned. I shouldn't sell that house, and that I should have something to fall back on. That way, if things didn't work out, if things got hard, and I didn't make it in Wyoming, that I had something else to fall back on. Ministry has not always been easy since I've been to Wyoming. Ministry, honestly, today is not very easy with everything going on in our world. But we can't have that temptation and that pressure to quit. We can't do that. Thankfully, I never let quitting be an option. I never let going back to something familiar being an option. See, holding on and looking for a secure place can take us out of the will of God. It can take us away from where God would have us to be. See, holding on to an old job, if God calls away from that, can keep us from being who God wants us to be. Holding on to old friends and holding on to old things can keep us from being who God wants us to be. In this setting that we have here, we have disciples, and these disciples, they're hanging out together. We have seven of them. Five of them are identified in this passage. You have Peter and Thomas, Nathaniel, James, and John. And you have two that we don't know the names of. Perhaps it was Andrew. Andrew was a fisherman. He would have been all right going fishing. Maybe one of them was Philip. These disciples, they're here and they're confused. And they're here and they're lost. Peter is still devastated from his denial of Jesus. He may be at a point where he's ready to throw in the towel. And so he recommends a fishing trip. Basically, this is what Peter does. He looks around. And as he's looking around, there's probably still more questions than answers. They've seen Jesus resurrected, but there's still these questions. And Peter is probably still frustrated. And so he looks around at his friends and he says, "You know what? I'm going fishing." Seems like a spontaneous thing, maybe an open-ended thing. I'm going fishing for as long as it's needed. Why he decided to go fishing, we don't really know. The passage doesn't tell us. Maybe there are some reasons. Maybe he really was tempted to just go back to something that he knew. You know, I'm done with this. Fishing is what I know. I'll just go back and be a fisherman. Maybe the disciples were considering returning to their old ways of life as well. Maybe they were just having a lack of purpose and a lack of understanding. In any case, fishing became their fallback. Fishing became the answer. So they went out of the boat, and they used all their fishing experience, all their skill, all their expertise. They worked all night. They put themselves into fishing as much as they could, and they caught absolutely nothing. Does this sound familiar? In Luke 5, we have a similar story at the beginning of the ministry. You have the disciples out all night, working hard, trying to catch fish, and catching nothing. Sometimes failure really can be a good thing. You know, God has a purpose for us, and while we're trying to figure out God's purpose, we decide that, hey, you know what? Maybe there's something better. Maybe what I'm doing for God, maybe this thing that God is calling to, maybe it's not right, and I got a better idea, and I'm going to go do that. We question God. Maybe we even ignore God's calling, and then we expect God to bless us. We expect God to bless our disobedience, and then he doesn't. And instead, we find ourselves failing. And it's in that failure that we're able to come back to God. See, we work hard and we don't succeed, but maybe we're working hard and maybe we're not succeeding because it's not God's plan for us to succeed, or God doesn't want us. And I don't believe that God wanted these men back fishing right here. We can't succeed with relying on ourselves. The disciples had come to a dangerous point of their ministries. They were called to be fishers of men. Jesus in Luke, he called them out of the boat. It says that when they brought the boat to the land, they left everything and they followed Jesus. That was the calling. He called them out of a boat, and they dare not abandon that calling. Look, there's nothing wrong with being a fisherman if God calls you to be a fisherman. But these men were not called to be in the boat. They were not called to be out fishing. This was not their purpose. And we need to make sure that we understand God's purpose for our life. Jesus knew what they were doing. And he's standing at the shore at daybreak. And he's waiting for them to come in. The fishermen, they don't know at this point who he is. And I'm not sure they appreciate the question that Jesus asked them. "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" Jesus expected the answer to be no. And that's the answer they gave him. I've done a lot of fishing, and I never really like it when people walk up to me and say, "You know, did you catch anything?" And the answer, "No." But how about when they say, "You didn't catch anything, did you?" As a fisherman, you don't really like that answer. They had done their best. They had did everything that they knew, Peter was a professional fisherman, and he had not been successful. And Jesus knew this. He knew that they'd be fishing, and he knew that fishing wasn't going to be good for them, and he knew that success in fishing was only going to lead them to walk further and further away from the calling that they had. Jesus wanted them to fail, and Jesus needed them to admit that they had failed. Something every fisherman struggles, something maybe most men struggle to do, to admit failure. When we are tempted to quit, when we want to go back to where we were and do the things that we used to do, when things aren't working out, sometimes that may require some refocusing on our part, some re-examining of our life and really looking and saying, God, what is it that you call me to do? Who am I supposed to do? And what does that look like in my life? We better make sure we're focusing on the one who truly has the ability to meet our needs. So let's look at this again in verses 6 through 14. He says to them, cast the net to the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch. So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it because of the great number of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, he was stripped for work, and threw himself in the sea. But the other disciple came in the boat. They were not far from land, about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got up out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples ventured to question him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Proud men don't like to listen. We have all the answers. Why do we need somebody to come tell us something? We know the answers. We don't need anything from anyone. But defeated men, sometimes defeated men will listen. And sometimes it comes to a point in our lives where we have to be defeated before we can turn an ear to the Lord and listen to what he would have for us. And so Jesus commands them. He says, cast the nets on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will catch fish. And for some reason, these men listened. Was it the authority in Jesus' voice? Was it the desperation in the boat? Maybe it was just a loss? I don't know. It may sound strange that these professional fishermen would heed the directions of some unknown person on the shore. Of course, fishermen today, they always listen to other people's directions, right? Sometimes you're out fishing and somebody will say, well, try this jig, try this lure, and so you'll try something new just to see if something will work. So the disciples, they follow the suggestion. What else do they have to lose? I mean, they're just out fishing and nothing else is working. We don't know what side of the boat was a normal side for fishing, but Jesus says to cast the net on the right side. And we know this, that Jesus is teaching them a lesson. Whether that was common practice or not common practice, we don't know. But Jesus was teaching a lesson because these men belonged to Jesus, and their success was not dependent on their ability to fish. Their success was dependent on Jesus, and they needed to experience his provision. And so they have this miraculous catch. Seven disciples working as hard as they could, and they couldn't haul it into the boat. Again, something we see similar to the passage in Luke, the same passage where Peter leaves everything to follow Jesus. And at this time, you have John, the one whom Jesus loved. John, he recognizes who's on the shore. He recognizes Jesus. And he turns to Peter and he says to Peter, hey, Peter, it's the Lord. Peter, look, it's Jesus. Peter, always the one to think things through and act rationally, doesn't do that here because that's not what he does. He jumps in the water and he swims to Jesus. I find this very interesting. Peter, loyal to Jesus. Peter, who left everything to follow Jesus. Peter, in his weakest moment, he denies Jesus. Not once, not twice, but three times. And then here, when Jesus is on the shore, Peter can't wait to go get to where Jesus is. He can't wait to be with Jesus. The other disciples gather up the fish and they bring in the boat. And when they get to the land, they find Jesus on the shore, cooking breakfast, an act of caring. See, Jesus loved these men, even in all of their weaknesses. Jesus knows that they will do their job. He knows he has something for them to do. In this act of caring, he reaches out to them. Notice that Peter goes and he draws in the fish and he brings the fish and it says the 153. Maybe he organized the hauling, but we get the impression that Peter went and did this himself. He went and grabbed the fish. I don't know why here that John records the exact number of fish. In the Luke passage, it just says a bunch of fish. There's not a number mentioned. Here is an exact number. And some people try to find some significance in this number, but I'm not so sure there's great significance in the number. It's more likely that as John records this, he's just extremely impressed about the number of fish that they caught. So he wants everybody to know the number so that everybody else can be impressed as well. See, it's like a fisherman. If you go to a fisherman and says, hey, you caught about 10 fish, and the fisherman says, nope, I caught 12. Right? You want the exact number. I didn't catch about 10. I caught 12 fish. And so maybe John is just really impressed here, and so he corrects him and makes sure the right number of the fish that they caught. But in any case, they have these fish, this large amount of fish, and Jesus invites his disciples to eat breakfast, to eat bread and fish with him. And as much as he provided the fish in the boat, more importantly, Jesus now provides fellowship with him on the shore. More importantly, he invites these men into an intimate relationship with him as they fellowship together. And it's this relationship with him that is our motivation to keep us going. Let's look at verses 15 through 17. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, shepherd my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. So the focus turns to Peter. Peter was still recognized as a leader among the disciples. Peter had suffered because of his denials. He had boasted that he would never deny Jesus. He had boasted that he would die for Jesus, but yet he had denied Jesus three times, and everybody knew what Peter had done. Everybody knew of his boasting. Everybody knew of the things that Peter said that he was going to do, and all these disciples, they knew that Peter had failed. Peter knew of Christ's resurrection. He knew that Jesus had resurrected. No doubt, Peter was thrilled at the resurrection of Jesus. But what did this mean for Peter? I wonder, as Peter's sitting here on the shore and he's going fishing, if he's wondering where he still fits into Jesus' plans. He denied him. I wonder if he felt like, do I deserve to be part of his plans going forward? Do I deserve to still be used by Jesus? And maybe the other disciples were wondering that as well as they watched what Peter did and they saw his denial and wondering what place Peter has in the future. See, Peter had failed and he had failed miserably. And after breakfast, Jesus and Peter, they visit on the beach. And three times, Jesus asks Simon, do you love me? And three times, Peter answers and says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And each time Jesus responds with a command to care for the sheep. He says, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. It's easy to see the connection between Peter's earlier three denials and these three professions of loyalty and devotion. It's also easy to see Peter hurt when Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And Peter responds, you know everything. You know that I love you, insisting his love and his devotion. But what might not be so easy to see, what might not be so easy to understand, is the way that Jesus draws Peter into a new relationship through this short conversation. See, keep in mind that when Peter was in the high priest's courtyard, he didn't deny the divinity of Jesus. He didn't deny Jesus' claims to be the Messiah. What Peter denied was his own relationship to Jesus. When asked twice, are you one of his disciples, aren't you? Peter said, I am not. And when he was challenged a third time, he said, I don't even know him. He denied even knowing Jesus. And now as they talk together beside the lake, Jesus not only restores the relationship, but he creates a new relationship between Peter and Jesus. And sometimes in that failure and in that restoration, a new relationship, a stronger relationship is developed. Jesus had great plans for Peter in spite of his failings. There was a purpose for Peter. He needed and he wanted Peter to become the leader that he knew he could be. But Jesus had to restore him first. So three times Peter denies Jesus, and three times he would affirm his love for Jesus. Three times Peter denied his callings. He denied his calling. And three times Jesus would affirm his calling. Come, feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Shepherd my sheep. Tend my sheep. He says, this is your calling. Jesus had a purpose for Peter. He was to do the work of a shepherd. He was to care for Jesus' sheep. That was his calling. That's what he had to do. Jesus' sheep are dear to him. Jesus loves his people. And Jesus demands that Peter love his people as well. And he demands that the people, the sheep, must be important to Peter. And so Peter remembered Jesus' words. As he has this conversation, as Jesus ascends, and as Peter goes, and he's fulfilled, and he's doing his ministry, as he is restored to be who God has called him to be, he lives out these words of Jesus. And Peter spends his life pastoring the flock that Jesus gave him. The rest of his life, he spends his time ministering to people, loving people, sharing the gospel, understanding what his purpose was. Peter, you're never tempted to go back and fish again. Peter never tempted to go back and forsake it all again, because he had been restored by Jesus. 30 years later, shortly before Peter's death, he writes these words in 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. Peter, a disciple of Jesus, failure wasn't the end. The denial of Jesus wasn't the end. A Jesus who restores you, a Jesus who forgives, a Jesus who has a purpose continued in Peter's life. And Peter spent the remaining of his days following Jesus and living out that purpose. Even in the pit, at the bottom, Jesus had a purpose for Peter. No matter where you are today, no matter where you are in your spiritual life, let me ask you today, challenge you today to consider Jesus, to consider your relationship with him, and to consider that as a follower of Jesus, as a disciple of his, Jesus has a purpose for you. And right now you might be like Peter and say, man, I'm going fishing and I can't even see God's purpose. I have no idea what God's plan is, and I'm lost and frustrated and I'm struggling. And Jesus says, I've got purpose. Do you love me? Come follow me. Come do what I've called you to do. Find your purpose in me. Don't find your purpose in anything else, because you'll never find it. Don't try to find your answers in anything else, because you'll never find it. But find your identity and your purpose in Jesus. And this is where Peter was. And this was a changing moment for Peter. And he was never the same. This morning, let that be a changing moment for you, that you will leave today with this message, confessing your loyalty to Jesus. Jesus, I love you, and never be the same.
stand.